how spiritual and carnal things worked. All I knew was, I'm saved. I don't have to go to hell. I will never go to hell. And it was wonderful. I've learned a lot, and I've got a lot more to learn. But one of the things that I've learned here, and quite frankly, I might as well be open and honest about it, I was just as saved when I came here as I am now. But I didn't know this. If you can walk in the Spirit, if you can walk in the Spirit, then you have eternal life, having been passed from death unto life. Now notice, I didn't say that walking in the Spirit is what gave you eternal life or what maintained it. If you can walk in the Spirit, then you have eternal life, having been passed from death unto life. And there's an if in there. If you are born again, you have the Spirit. You can't walk in the Spirit if you don't have the Spirit. I labored under pretty heavy bondage, even though I was saved, because I didn't understand that. And every time I sinned, I'd question my salvation. And sometimes I'd do the same sin over and over again, and I would say to myself, are you really saved, Tom? Are you really saved? Because you're not walking in the Spirit. It was almost like if I walked in the Spirit all the time, then I was God's child. And that's true. But the thing about this is, you can't walk in the Spirit unless you have the Spirit. And it's the new birth. It's the new birth that allows you to do it. It is not walking in the Spirit that saves us, but that we are able to do so. You say, well now, if you don't walk in the Spirit, you'll go back to hell. No, no, no. You're putting yourself back under bondage. You're going right back to the same thing that Christ set you free from. And you're going right back to what Free Will Baptists and a lot of Assembly of God preachers and anybody that teaches, you can lose your salvation, teaches. They say, if you don't confess that sin just before you hit that tree, boom, you're going straight to hell. That isn't true at all. People that have the Spirit walk in the Spirit. People that have the Spirit walk in the Spirit. Continuously, all the time, never sinning, never failing, absolutely not. They do sin. But you can't walk in the Spirit if you don't have the Spirit, and it's the fact that you've got the Spirit that makes you a child of God. If you are born again, you have the Spirit. It is not walking in the Spirit that saves us, but that we are able to do so. Some people, after they're born again, they say, okay, now if I've got the Spirit, I'm supposed to walk in the Spirit all the time, and if I don't walk in the Spirit, I'm still under the condemnation of God. And there are lots of scriptures in the Bible that they can run over to and pounce on, take them out of context, and make you think that's true. But it isn't true. At physical birth, you had only one master, Satan through the flesh. At physical birth, you had only one master, Satan through the flesh. That's the only master you had. That was your master, and you were a slave to sin. You had no other master. You were a slave to Satan. You were a slave to sin. You were ungodly. You had no other master. At the new birth, you receive a new master, Christ through the Spirit. Now, some people have the idea, well, Brother McElmurray, I know Christ is my master, but boy, I'll tell you what, if I sin, I go right back under Satan, and I'm in bondage to him again, and I'm just a slave to sin. That is not true at all. From the moment I was saved, I've only had one master. I do not have two masters. I have one master. That master bought and paid for me with his blood. I have only one master. You say, well, if you serve Satan, he's your master. I have only one master. Because when Christ bought and paid for me, there was a night and day shift, and I am a new creature in Christ. I do not have Satan as a master anymore. Christ is my only master. Do I follow that master all the time? Do I do what my new master wants all the time? No. I wish I could. I wish I did. But I don't. But do I try? Yeah. But I only have one master. Now, you may think you have two masters, but you don't. It's all in your mind. You don't have two masters. You only have one. If you have Christ living in you, He is your master. You say, well, who's sitting on the throne of your life? Your master. You say, well, I remember this diagram where the question was, who's sitting on the throne of your life? Your master. The question is, are you doing what your master wants? And that's the question. Because you only have one master. You're not double-souled. After the new birth, Satan is no longer your master. He was, but he isn't anymore. I'm not teaching sinless perfection. I'm just as sinful as I ever was in the flesh. But I only have one master. You are set free from sin's bondage. When Christ's Spirit comes to live in you, you are set free from sin's bondage. You are no longer under the bondage of sin. No exceptions. You say, well, then that means I don't sin. Uh-uh. It means that Christ took your sins and my sins and all sin that all men commit. And He lived a life without sin and then said, I sentence you to death and I have the right to do so, and I am just in doing so because I have never sinned. Sin, I condemn you to death. He not only condemned it to death, He not only sentenced it to death, He carried out the sentence and put sin to death in His flesh and buried it with Him. So, no, I'm not under bondage to sin anymore. I don't have to serve sin. Before I was saved, I had no choice. I had no choice but to serve sin. Because I was born into sin, conceived in sin, and had one master, Satan through the flesh. Now, I have a new master, and I do not have two masters. I only have one. You are set free from sin's bondage the moment that you're born again, the moment that Christ you love. But the devil's main trick, the devil's greatest work, is that after he puts up a fight to stop you from being saved by trusting Christ, then the only way he can try to rob God of glory in your life is to make you think that you can go back under that bondage, and you get afraid that he's going to send you to hell and afraid you're going to lose your salvation, and you put yourself right back under the bondage. It's Satan's greatest trick. You are set free from sin's bondage. Then you have a free man's choice. Christ set you free to make a choice. Walk in the Spirit or in the flesh. I walk in the Spirit some of the time. Some of the time I walk in the flesh. So what's the purpose of life? I have a new master. I'm not under bondage to sin anymore. I don't have to sin. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, we all know that we do. Absolutely. But I'm not under bondage anymore. So what's the purpose of God saving you? Every year of your life, as you get more and more of this word in you, and you begin to realize just how wonderful and gracious Christ is and what He really did for you, and you see how free He set you. Instead of making you say, well, I'm just going to do anything I want because I don't have to go to hell, it does just the opposite. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted, the Lord is gracious. To whom coming? To keep on coming. The more I have seen of what Christ truly did for me and how free He set me and the horrible price He paid to do it, the more indebted I am to Him, the more I love Him, and the more I am determined by the Spirit of Christ in me to serve Him. It has done just the opposite in me. I know free well that I can commit adultery on my wife. I can lie. I can cheat. I can steal. I can be lascivious. I can be covetous. I can be an adulterer. I can be anything I want. But the more I've learned about Him, the less I want to be any one of those things. You say, well, isn't there a struggle? Yes, there is a struggle. But the struggle is not a struggle that you're trying to win. It's one that's already been won by Christ in you. And all you're going to do is go along for the ride and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I tell you, there is more grace in Christ Jesus than I ever realized the moment I was saved. And there is more grace in Christ Jesus than I ever realized when I first came to this church. And I think I can say, and God knows whether I'm telling the truth, and I'm going to have to answer the Lord for this, I have learned to love Christ many, many more times as I began to see how gracious He really is. When I began to understand that I only had one master, and I began to understand that that man put all my sins to death in the flesh, and I understood how free I was set, it made me love Him more and more and more and more. And it's made serving Him a whole lot easier, because the more I got to know Him, the more impressed I was and the more I loved Him. He is more gracious than I ever realized. And I have no doubt that with the passage of time, by the grace of God, if I live long enough in this flesh and keep studying the Word, He'll become even more gracious to me than He is now. Set free in Christ now. We're going to take a look at set free in Christ now. And the key word is the word now. That's one reason I love Him so much. I don't have to wait and see if all this works. It's now. Set free in Christ now. Now, justified by His blood. Now, reconciled by His death. Right now. Now, saved by His life. Now, receiving the atonement through Him. Right now, in this time, this moment, this second, from the instant I received Christ in me, the hope of glory, from that moment forward, all these things were true in my life. Romans 5, 9, and 10. He says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. You say, well, it says, who shall be saved from wrath through Him? How to know you're going to be saved from wrath? Because I'm now justified. Right now. So there's no question I'm going to be saved from wrath through Him, because I'm justified right now. He justified. I didn't justify myself. Can't justify myself. Can't continue to justify myself. Can't ever make myself right with God by my own actions, because Christ is the one who made me right with God, and Christ is the one who keeps me right with God. Verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, you bet we were enemies. When you came into this world, you were under the bondage of sin. You couldn't help but sin. And you only had one master. And when you got old enough to where you had choices as to whether or not you were going to sin willfully and disobediently, I guarantee you, you followed your master, Satan, because you only had one master. Or if when we were enemies, ungodly enemies of God, lost and undone, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, we are now reconciled by His death. How much do I know? Being, much more, being reconciled. That doesn't say to be reconciled, being reconciled. Paul said, I'm reconciled right now. And he says, because I'm reconciled right now, look at what's going to happen. We shall be saved by His life. So how do I know I'm saved by His life? Because I'm reconciled right now. And there's no question about it. That's the graciousness of God. When He came into me at the new birth, He became the master of my soul. You say, well, He's not your master unless you continually obey Him. He will be my master forever. What we're talking about is whether I'm going to be a good servant, a mediocre servant, or a terrible servant. And those who learn of Him and begin to see how much He loves them, instead of taking advantage of Him, want to serve Him more heartily than they ever served in their lives. It does just the opposite what the Assembly of God and other churches teach. They say, well, if you could do anything you wanted, you'd go out and do it. No, you wouldn't if you understood how free He'd made you. If you understood secure the believer, you wouldn't want to do it. Some of you sitting here are living proof of that. Paul said in Galatians 2, 20 and 21, what does it mean in Romans 5, 10, we shall be saved by His life? Look at Galatians 2, 20. I am crucified with Christ. That means that all your sins were put in Him. He sentenced your sins to death. Then He carried out the sentence Himself and executed sin in His flesh by crucifying it with Him. But then here's what He did for you and I. Nevertheless, even though I've been crucified with Christ, you'd think I'd die. No, He said, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So who saved me? Christ. How am I saved by His life? Christ liveth in me. Christ alive in me is the only life I have. The only eternal life I have is Christ inside. My flesh cannot live eternally, but Christ living inside me does. And because He lives, I shall live also. It's the real totality of all this. And what really has stunned me in the years I've been here is that Jesus did it all. And even after you're saved, he still does it all. And he is the only one who deserves honor and praise and recognition and attention and glory, because Jesus does it all. And the life which I now live in the flesh, you say, well, I want to tell you, that old sister's really got faith. I want to tell you, I've got faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He's alive in me. He's the same Christ who was crucified for me. He's the same Christ in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily, and he is alive in me. It's his faith in me that motivates, pushes, teaches, leads, guides, directs, keeps, maintains, and will one day bring me before Almighty God in his own person forever in heaven. It's all Jesus. It's not anyone else or anything else. And if you start snapping your suspenders and saying, well, I know, but you didn't do anything. You just think you did. Jesus did it all. The fact that I've pastored here 25 years means nothing. Because if Christ hadn't been inside me, this hump, this body here would never have been used for that purpose. And if Christ hadn't led me here, and if Christ hadn't pushed me and driven me, this would never have been done. It's Christ, and I mean it's Jesus, and everything that's ever been done here that was right, Jesus did, and everything that's ever been done that was wrong, I did. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now let's take a look at Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. People say, that really means faith in Christ. No, it doesn't. It means just what it says, both in English and Koine Greek, by the faith of Jesus Christ. If Christ had not had the faith that he had, as a man, to continually obey every jot and tittle of the law, to follow his father's every instruction, and finally to suffer the greatest thing that had ever been placed on him in his entire existence since he came in at the manger in Bethlehem, as a man, to actually be separated for the first time in his existence as a man in perfect flesh from his father. He did it. And he had faith that he would be resurrected from the dead and glorified. And it's that man who's living inside me. And it's the faith of that man inside me that justifies me before God. If I believe that God can turn a turnip into a radish, that accomplishes nothing. If I believe that God can take this building and suddenly turn it into a mushroom, that accomplishes nothing. But if I believe that Christ is the one whose faith justifies me, and the life that he lived by faith here as a man justifies me, then I know the truth. And I also know that I am nothing. I know it as a fact, not as a theory or not as humility, but I understand how indebted I am to Christ. And I am completely indebted to him, because I have come to understand that Jesus is the whole shooting match from straight to finish. And I love it. I love it. Because if he had left something up to me, I would have blown it. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. He kept the law. It gave him the right to condemn it. It gave him the right to sentence it. And it gave him the right to put it to death in his flesh. And he set me free from the law. I want to serve him. This was a burden to me when I first came here. Pastoring was such a burden. Working for God was such a burden. But I made it a burden, because I was still laboring at times under the bondage of sin. I did not realize how free I had been set. Now I want to serve it. Now I enjoy it. Now I love every minute of it. Because I know now that how wonderful, at least not, I don't know how wonderful he is, but he's sure a lot more wonderful than he was when I first came here. And not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Romans 5:11. Set free in Christ now. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now let's look at verse 12. Romans 5:11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I thought that after I got saved, maybe there was something by yielding to Christ, by surrendering to Christ, would show how much I loved Him. I thought a lot of things, but I'll tell you what my joy in Christ is. Jesus did it all. My joy in God is through Jesus Christ. It's not through my own efforts and my own works. It's through Christ. I thank God that He thought enough of all of us to pay the full price. I think a lot of God's children that are legitimately saved and are sitting on Missionary Baptist Church pews honestly are trying to help God after they've been saved. Now, I'm not selling you all you have. Just go out and do anything you want. But start serving Him because He's done it all. When it says we are more than conquerors, you know why it says more than conquerors? It's because He's already won the battle. You think you struggle against your flesh. You say, boy, there's a conflict going on inside me. You're already the victor. You say, well, I don't think so. Christ has already won the victory. Because He put your sins to death in His flesh, and He's not going to send you to hell because of the fact you've gone back under the bondage of sin. Peter and some of the others tried to go back under it. Paul jumped all over them. Paul understood this, and Paul's writings bring it out very clearly. Notice what he says in Romans 8, 1 through 4. There is therefore now, right now at this present time, I have now received the atonement. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Do you know what, when I first came here, bothered me about that verse? I knew part of the time I walked after the flesh. I knew that. And I did walk after the flesh. I knew I was a sinner. It just bugged the life out of me. I'd come to that verse and I'd try to explain it away and everything. I'd say, quack, 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 quack. But how simple it was, how childish it was. And I'm so ashamed that it took me so long to understand it. I was here a long time before I understood this. Assembly of God will take that verse of Scripture and say, yep, yep, yep. Yes, sir, I'll tell you what, you've got to give it your best shot. And I want to tell you that if you don't walk after, if you don't do this and you don't do that, I know Jesus is God's Son. I know He died on the cross for my sins. I know that He saved me, and I know His blood cleansed me. But I'm going to tell you, if you walk after the flesh, then you go right back under the condemnation of God. That is totally ridiculous. Once you receive the Spirit, then you walk after the Spirit. Now listen, listen. Before you received the Spirit, you could not walk after the Spirit. It was impossible. But once you received the Spirit, then for the first time in your life, you could walk after the Spirit. And that's what that verse is talking about. It's not saying, if you don't walk after the Spirit, you walk after the flesh, well, you're going back on the condemnation of God. And a lot of missionary Baptists are still struggling because they're afraid of the condemnation of God. You don't ever have to be afraid of the condemnation of God. What you need to be concerned about is whether or not you get to know Christ and get to understand what He taught and let it find lodging in your heart and in the way you think. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm not ever going to back under the condemnation of God. I really have been set free from the law of sin and death. Am I saying that if I sin, God won't punish me? No, I'm not saying that at all. If I don't confess it, I'm going to be punished, which is living proof that the Spirit is in me. If I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That's living proof that the Spirit was in me. But the whole point of this discourse is, you have to be born again. That's why He told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. You must. There's no choice. Because once you're born again and Christ comes to live inside you, for the first time in your life, you can walk after the Spirit. You're going to walk after the Spirit, but occasionally, you're going to walk after the flesh. Does that put you back under the condemnation of God? No. He put it to death in His flesh. How do I know? For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He put it to death. He condemned it. When you receive Christ, you became a new creature in Christ, and Christ came in you. And that union will never be broken, and you are set free from the penalty of sin that would have forever condemned you to a devil's hell. And you are set free from the rest of your life to choose whether or not you're going to walk after the Spirit or after the flesh. But now you are not under bondage to the law of sin and death. You don't have to walk after the flesh anymore. Before you were saved, before you were born again, you had to walk after the flesh. Absolutely. But now you don't have to walk after the flesh. You say, well, can you live above sin? No, but you don't have to walk after the flesh. You've got a choice now. And it's legitimate because you've got the Spirit of Christ in you. Why was this done? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the way Christ gets glory. That's the way God gets glory. God gets glory through His Son. It's our yielding to His Son in us and Him using us to accomplish His purposes through our submission to Him that gives glory to God. It's not when we well up our idea on the flesh and do it for a fleshly reason, like attention, money, or things of that nature. That doesn't give glory to God. But when we do it just because Christ loved us and gave Himself for us, and we're so carried away, impressed with how gracious He is, and we let Him work in us, and we follow the teachings of His Father and what He left us, and we're doing it because we love Him, then God gets glory because it's the love of the Son in us that compels us to do it. Likewise, now, Romans 6, 11 through 14. Here's what He tells us to do. Likewise, reckon. That means like dead reckoning, like a navigator. Set your course. He says, this is the way I want you to think. We're talking about a way of thinking. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He said, I want you to think this way. Likewise, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin. He said, I want you to think that way. He said, I want you to realize that now you've been set free in Christ, you don't have to be in bondage anymore. He said, you don't have to sin anymore. You see, before I received Christ, I couldn't even have a choice. I couldn't even fight against it. I just succumbed to it because I only had one master. Now I've got a new master. Satan's not my master. The flesh is not my master. I've got one master. Now the question is, am I going to make the choice to serve my new master, or am I not going to serve? Well, here's the way it goes. Think about it. He said, understand that Christ has put sin to death in your flesh. Understand you don't have to be a slave to it. It doesn't mean you can live above sin or you're going to never commit sin. But you don't have to be a slave to it. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now for the first time in my life, after Christ came to live in me 55 years ago, I could do this. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Before I received Christ, I couldn't stop lying to my grandmother. I couldn't stop smoking corn silk. I couldn't stop going over to the window and watching Lilibet Fox undress. But after Christ came to live in me, I could. I could, but I never could before. I would fight with everything I had, but I didn't have anything. You said you had a conscience, but I had one master. My master was Satan. My flesh was sinful. I was powerless. And I just succumbed to sin every time it came. Once I learned how to lie, then I just lied repetitiously. Once I learned how profitable it is to lie and how much trouble it gets you out of, I kept right on lying. Once I felt the sensation of what it meant to look across and see Lilibet Fox undress, I loved it and I couldn't stop. But when I got saved, all of a sudden, I had a new master. For the first time in my life, I was able to resist sin. Perfectly? No. But I was able to put up a fight. Before, there wasn't anything but just a little brief struggle between my conscience and my flesh, and it didn't last two shakes of a sheep's tail. Now, I don't have to let sin reign in my mortal body that I should abate in the lust thereof. I'm talking about set on the throne of my life. I'm talking about reigning in my life. I'm talking about not being able to resist it. It doesn't have to reign in my life. It can't reign in my life. Christ is in me. You say, well, how do you know that? It says, reckon. I believe that. And it's a question of whether you believe it or not. Neither yield ye your members of instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves to God. I couldn't yield myself to God because Christ wasn't in me and I wasn't in Christ until I was saved. When I was a child, I didn't understand all this. I was saved. But that was what was working in me. And I lived a life under bondage. But it was my fault. I was saved. But I kept being so afraid that God would send me to hell because I would go back and I would yield to sin. Now there's a war that goes on in my flesh all the time. But I know who won the victory. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, aren't you afraid you're going to lose? No. Jesus has already won. It is the overcomer, Christ, who lives his life in you that allows you to be an overcomer. He's the overcomer. You only overcome because the overcomer is in you. The question is not whether you're an overcomer after you're saved. You are. The question is, how much of an overcomer will you be? Just about as much as you yield yourself to his instructions and his words. And you can do it now. You say, well, what are you talking about? You can come to church regularly. That's no big deal. And yet so many people don't do it. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, people that are possessed by Satan, they can't come to church regularly because they cannot sit there and take it. At least not to a true church. They may come to a false church, but not a true church. They won't stay long. Of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over ye, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. I'm almost finished. But this is a very important principle. All believers are freed overcomers. There are some members of this church in the past, and I have to confess, when I first came here, I was one of them, that I was so deeply burdened about the fact that I still kept sinning that it weighed me down and it defeated me. Oh, I did what was right. I preached the truth. But I had such guilt constantly, even after I confessed my sins. All believers are freed overcomers. All of them. 1 John 5, it says so. All believers are freed overcomers. Why? Only because Christ the overcomer lives in them and they live in him. That's the only reason you're an overcomer. The overcomer in Revelation is someone who is letting the overcomer overcome in him. That's why in Hebrews and Paul's other writings, you see, if Paul did write Hebrews, but Paul is very frequent in his expression, let us, let us, let us, let us, let us, let us, let Christ's mind be in you. Let us, let us, let us. He's not talking about you taking a direct purposeful action on the flesh in your part. He's saying, let Jesus have his way in you according to the instructions of his word. Do what he says. That's walking in the Spirit. If you come to church regularly and serve God in the church, that's walking in the Spirit. If you don't come to church regularly and you don't serve God, that's walking in the flesh. But you've got a choice. You've got a choice. The question is not whether or not a believer in Christ is an overcomer, but rather how much will you as a believer let the overcomer overcome by living his life in you. I've preached this so many times that I'm not going to bore you with it again, but I am going to mention it in passing, because Philippians 2:5-14 bears this out. All believers are free to overcomers. Why? Only because Christ the overcomer lives them and they live in him. That's the only reason. You're not an overcomer because you just gird up your flesh. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? Only because Christ the overcomer lives them and they live in him. The question is not whether or not a believer in Christ is an overcomer, but rather how much will you as a believer let the overcomer overcomer by living his life in you? Here's what it all entails. The overcomer lives in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, because of this, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the master of my life. He is the savior of my soul. He is the maintainer of my soul. He put away my sins. He set me free. I owe him everything. He owes me nothing. And he is even more gracious than I could ever possibly imagine. The more you understand how little and small and sinful and insignificant you are, and how magnificent Christ is, and yet he reached down having the fullness of the Godhead in him bodily, and he saved you, and he keeps you, and he's the overcomer in you. When you finally wake up to just how much he loves you and just who he is, he's a whole lot easier to serve, and you don't get nearly as disappointed. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved," he says, "because this is true, as ye have always obeyed, but not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence?" He says, "I'm really happy to hear that you've been doing this when I wasn't there constantly prodding you. It proves something." He said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." You know what? Assembly of God will take that and say, "See, you got to work your salvation out yourself." Work out is katergos este. It means to take something you already have. It means to take something God gave you. 55 years ago, he gave me his son, who is the overcomer in me, and he lives in me. Once he put his son in me, his son began to live his life in me. Now the question is, how much am I going to let his son live his life in me? The word that is used there for work out is katergos este. Here's exactly what it means. It means to carry to an ultimate conclusion. 55 years ago, Christ came to live in a man who was totally sinful, had been completely under the influence of the devil. All flesh, could only walk in the flesh. He came to live in him, and he became a new creature. Over there on that wall, let's let that be an example of Jesus Christ, the mature Christ, functioning as the Son of God on this earth. Will I ever get there in this life? No. No, not in a million years. But I have an obligation to God, in reverential respect, fear, and trembling for God, to take what he gave me and carry it toward an ultimate conclusion. That ultimate conclusion is to be like Christ. That's what that means. Take what you've got, your salvation that he gave it, your own salvation. See that word own? It means it's yours. Now take it. It was given to you. Carry it to an ultimate conclusion. What's my problem? I'm not humble like he was. I'm not self-sacrificing like he was. I'm all the things that the flesh can muster up, but I do have God's Spirit in me. I do love him. Now, as I go through life, I've got sin in my flesh. How do you put sin to death? You never do have sin completely inactive in your flesh. But I don't lie as much as I used to. I don't lust as much as I used to. You say, now you're getting self-righteous. No, I don't mean it to sound that way. I yield more to Christ now when these things come up in my flesh. I turn to Christ more quickly. And when I do sin and succumb to them, I very quickly ask him for forgiveness and go on. So what is an overcomer? It's someone who has the overcomer inside them. It's someone who has the living Son of God in them, who wants to live his life again in them. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. It's Christ that's carrying what he gave me to an ultimate conclusion. He's carrying me, he's leading me to be more like him and less like myself. It's very simple. You say, well, what part do I play in this? Once he comes to live in you for the first time, you can make a choice. Do I want to be more and more like Jesus? Do I want to yield more and more to him? Do I want to learn what he has to say? Do I want to let him direct my life? Or do I want to follow my own way? And that's what you're set free to do. But he wants you to follow him. He wants you to be more like him. And as he works in you, he wants you to learn to do all things without murmuring and disputings. I want to say with a good taste in your mouth. I've said this many times, and I make no apology for it. You have no idea how much I appreciate you and how much I love you. Chuck, I think you can appreciate this. You've had some pretty tough churches to pastor. I go to all these churches and I preach in them. They're not like you. They're not like you at all. And I'll tell you why. It's not you. But you've let Christ work in you. I've seen some tremendous, dramatic changes here. I've seen a dramatic change in you, Cooney. That's meant more to me than you'll ever know. I've watched people change. I've watched Christ change them. And I've seen Christ work in them as he worked in me. He's molded us together into a body. Maybe we're a little too frivolous. And maybe we have too much fun. I don't know. But I do know that we love one another. And I do know that we love Him. And I do know that He's working in us. So sometimes if I mention Jack and Chili and say something, I don't ever want to embarrass you two guys. But it really impresses me to see Christ at work in you. And the more you learn that it's all Jesus that did it and still does it, it doesn't drive you away from Christ. Like Assembly of God and others say, they say, well, if you believe somebody was that gracious, well, you can go out and do anything you want. No, that's the whole point. You don't want to do it anymore. You don't want to do it. And the more you get to know Him, the less you want to do it. And the fight that you fight, He's already won. You're just going in and following Him and letting Him finish His work in your life. But it's all Jesus. It always will be. And I thank God it is. I just appreciate Him so much, I can't even find words to express it. I've never known anybody like Him in my life, and I never dreamed that night I was saved. He was so wonderful. I had no idea how wonderful He really is. I'm so ashamed that it took me so long to find out. But I thank God that I found out before I died, because it's meant everything to me. Brother Charlie, would you just